Malachi chapter 4. If you're there, say amen. All right. You know, when you say amen, you have to say amen twice as loud today so you cover for the people that are sick. Okay? So, Malachi chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Surely the day is coming. It will burn like a furnace. All the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble. And that day that is coming will set them on fire, says the Lord Almighty. Not a root or branch will be left to them. But for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness, that's S-U-N, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings. And you will go out and leap like calves released from the stall. Then you will trample down the wicked, and they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I do these things, says the Lord Almighty. Remember the law of my servant Moses and the decrees and laws I gave him at Horeb for all Israel. See, I will send you the prophet Elijah before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, or else I will come and strike the land with a curse. Lord, we come before you this morning knowing that you're here every day. That you come and guide and direct us, and that you give us the opportunity to join you in the plans that you have for us and around us. Lord, I yearn to see those plans revealed, Lord. Look around and see the savagery that is our culture, the sin that abounds more and more each day. I think of the sin of Noah's day. Lord, I can't imagine, I can't fathom it. But Lord, I do wait in eager expectation for your day to be revealed. Lord, that there is indeed a rescue for all that goes on around us. Lord, we give you praise, asking for you to come. In Jesus' name. And everyone said? 400 years the Jews were waiting. Waiting for a rescue. Romans were around. It was a challenge. And there are those in our culture that are waiting for a rescue. They complain and they gripe all the time. You hear them? There was a bunch of political drama on Friday with Mike Flynn pleading guilty to lying to the FBI. Now, that's a bad thing. Yes. When the FBI comes to your house, I hope the FBI never comes to your house. You know, the FBI came to my house one time. You can ask me about that. I just realized that they came to my house. But it was 25 years ago. And I wasn't married to you yet. It was when I was living with Tom. But anyway. Ask me about it. I'll weave it into a sermon the next couple of weeks. But yeah, it's a funny story, I'll tell you. So he pleads guilty, and he plea bargains, and he is going to name names, and he's going to talk about the people in the Trump administration who told him to contact the Russians. And the word goes out, I don't know if you heard that, but the word goes out on ABC News that indeed Mike Flynn was contacted by the candidate, Trump, to get in touch with the Russians. And Joy Behar, I thought it was Behart, but I just found out how to spell her name. She got this press release and was reading it on The View, and there is this celebration of, ha! We got him. Our rescue has come. And then ABC News had to come out, oh, well, we kind of got this part wrong. Yes, Flynn was told to get in touch with the Russians, but it was after the election. It's very difficult to fix an election after it's over. Can I get a witness on that? And so there are those who will celebrate and do anything that they can for a rescue. And so we ask you the question today, what is it that you want most for Christmas? Because there's a bunch of people out there hoping, dreaming, desiring, great expectations. Oh, if I could only get this. What is it that you're looking for this Christmas? Many people are looking for a rescue. And I hope you're looking for more than that. Amen. We're going to have a series. It is a customary series on the birth of Jesus in December. We're going to be taking a look at the first couple chapters of Luke, maybe into Matthew, at the people whose lives were impacted most by the birth of Christ and how the plan of God came near to them and impacted their lives. Amen? God, the plan of the Lord comes near you, you will be impacted. Things are going to change for you. How many of your lives have been radically transformed by the plan of God? Yeah. I mean, Paul, you were sergeant, or I don't know, what were you in the military when you first started pastoring in the Azores? Staff Sergeant. And how old were you? 24 years old, and the guy who was running the church left. And he says, okay, I'll take it. Staff Sergeant, E5, Paul Simpson, man of God, and been following God ever since. Amen? And probably before then as well. Amen. And the plan of God comes near, it will make an impact in your life. It was making, there was a desire for an impact in the Jews. This day of the Lord, as Malachi had discussed it, and they are looking for this day. They're looking for this rescue from the Romans that had been in charge for 65, 70 years. And it was not a good time. And they were looking for a way to get rid of the Romans. Malachi talked about it. Daniel had talked about a Savior coming. Daniel had talked about a Messiah who would come 500 years before. And the timing is working out. And so the time is right and the situation is dire. And they are looking, man, Lord, send us a rescue. We can use this. Now, Luke gives us a description of this. He writes this. He tries to make lay a foundation for the work of the Lord. And he writes this after Jesus' death and resurrection. So this is laying a foundation. He writes it to Gentile God-fearers. And these are those who are Gentile, but they have shown an interest and come into the Jewish religion. And so Luke reaches out to these as a bridge to the Gentiles as a whole. And so he's laying a foundation for the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. But he also lays this foundation, we'll see it today, of the work of the Holy Spirit. Work of the Holy Spirit in the church, in the believer, in Jesus, in each one of us today. Because when you get a Savior, everything changes. And it's the Holy Spirit who makes that change. Amen? So we're going to take a look at we're going to focus on the first couple books, chapters of the book of Luke. And Luke ends his writing at the end of Acts, 50 chapters later. And you want some exciting times, read through Luke and Acts. You'll see what the Lord's going to do. Desires of the Jews. They were looking for a rescue. Let's take a look. Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. And as you've been waiting for 500 years, hope can grow dim. Have you found that to be true? Sometimes it just seems like I've been waiting too long. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. And his wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands, decrees blamelessly. They were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. They were old priests living priestly lives. Now, I did some research. And there's no way to figure out how old Zechariah and Elizabeth are. And you know, you ask yourself, how old is old? And you know, I don't know how old is. But I know that old is older than me. Can I get a witness on that? You know what's funny is my daughter will tell me stories and stuff, and she will tell me about these old people that are doing things, and those old people are younger than me. And I have not corrected her on that yet. No, she said these old people. Hey, you haven't heard every story she's told me. She's told me about old people. I said, how old are they? She said, like maybe 45. But see, when you're 22, 23, 45 is old. Sorry, Aaron. Let's say that Zechariah and Elizabeth are as old as Lisa and I. I'm 56, I think. I'm not going to tell you how old Lisa is. She's younger than me. And much younger than me, yes. And so maybe Zechariah and Elizabeth have been married 35, 40 years. One thing, what happens when you get old? You can kind of get set in your ways. You can get content with the way things are, comfortable, get familiar. Zechariah and Elizabeth grew up in priestly homes. All they knew their whole lives, priestly homes. They prayed. They studied scripture. They had a focus on God. And they were familiar with that. They were, as Luke writes, righteous in the sight of God. Well, I'll tell you what. I'd take that. Acts chapter 6, Bob and Lisa Metz, righteous in the sight of God. I'll tell you what, I'd probably be preaching on Acts 6 a lot. Anybody else be cool with that? Have be referenced in the Bible as righteous in the sight of God? I'll tell you what, man, I can put my feet up and say, whoo, I'll take that. That's how Luke describes Zechariah and Elizabeth. And in all this righteousness, in their lives that they've lived, focused on God, focused on prayer, focused on the Word, they got no kids. And in that culture, every woman prayed, at that culture at that time, every woman prayed to give birth to a son. Because maybe that son would be the Messiah, the Savior, change everything. They had no children. And that would be a source of shame. A source of sorrow. And on this Christmas season, I want to warn you against tying your perceived blessings with your alignment on the plan of God. Because as we take a look at the people whose lives were most impacted by the birth of Christ, we will see that often calamity comes their way, especially when they're lined up on the plan of the Lord. And so many people today, I say, hey, Aaron Buggs, you want to follow the Lord? Have calamity follow you? It's like, no, not really. I'm going to go to that church that says, if I follow the Lord, I get everything I ever wanted. Well, man, we'll give you food on Tuesdays and Fridays. We'll feed you after church. But sometimes there's calamity that comes with the plan of the Lord. And with that comes the Holy Spirit to take you through. Amen? All righty, let's keep on going. Verses 8 through 10. Once when Zechariah's division, I'll tell you what that is in a second, was on duty, and he was serving as a priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time of the burning of the incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Some things are a long time coming. Sometimes you just got to wait, even when you are totally lined up on the Lord. Amen? Now, this lighting of the incense, it would have been a high point of Zechariah's priestly service slash career. The priestly divisions served once a week, twice a year. Once a week, twice a year, and all of the major feasts. There were three, so there'd be three times a year, and then twice other times during the year that they would go. Probably met his wife during the feast time. They would hang out and do all kinds of stuff and end up getting married. In that service were special duties. One of these duties was lighting the incense. Now, I got a picture for you. You'd light the incense in the holy place. Behind that curtain is the most holy place where the presence of God resided. They would go in twice a day, time of prayer, and they would light the incense. Three priests would be involved. He was old, right? And once you lit the incense, you're off the list. They're chosen by lots. You couldn't do it anymore. But one priest would go in and would remove, and that you can think of that altar kind of like a Weber barbecue, okay? It had coals in it. Now, it's like a golden Weber barbecue. But so when you're going to do your Weber barbecue, who's ever had a Weber barbecue back in the day, right? You're supposed to. Maybe you didn't do it every time. You're supposed to take the coals out, right? And so I'm thinking some of the younger priests would be in line to take the coals out. And they'd be waiting, be excited. I get to go and take the coals out, yeah. All right? So one priest would come in and take the coals out. And then they would have a fire burning out outside where they would make the offerings on the altar, right? And maybe a middle-aged priest would go and filled up this a censer, I think they call it, just like a pan full of these coals. They'd be burning hot. And he would bring in coals and put them on that altar, kind of like fill up the Weber with hot coals, right? And then he would leave and he'd go, "Whew, I'm the man," you know? I mean, what a high point. And then you get the old guys, right, that probably taken the coals out and probably put the coals in, and now he gets his shot at the incense. And so you got the altar that's filled with hot coals, and they would pour on, or he would pour on this incense. It would be like powdered, right? And it would just go up in this cloud of smoke. And that smoke was representative of the prayers of Israel. And so as he dumps the incense, he would then intercede for all of Israel. And there's drama. And they need a savior. And at the time, it's like, "Lord, send us a Messiah." And outside would be gathered pious Jews. Jews who show up, you know, we got prayer meeting coming up on Saturday. And there's some of you who never come. And there's some of you who always come. And I think I've always come for 19 years. I'm trying to think of one I missed. I can't think of one. But those types of folks, right here, every Monday through Friday at 9, we got prayer. Those are the folks that were outside. And they would have been praying because they knew what was going on inside. And that smoke would be going up and that fragrance would be going up. And Zechariah, or the priest who was ministering, would be praying. And they would be praying. And that prayer, you get the image? It's kind of a cool thing. Amen? And they are praying for the needs of the nation. Lord, send us a Savior. Savior would change everything. You know, I talk about the drama that's going on. Wednesday, Korea launched an intercontinental ballistic missile with the ability to hit anywhere in the United States. It could hit Washington, D.C., could hit New York City, hit San Diego. And there's a nut job. Kim Song-un, right? That's his name? Kim Jong-un? Who thinks, or who says, I mean, there's military guys in North Korea who firmly believe that they could whoop on the United States any time they want. Now, I can't imagine how Kim Jong-un believes that. But it's like, we don't care what you say. Trump is a crazy man, and we're going to launch whenever we want. And you know what's even crazier? Is right behind them is Iran. And Iran wants to start this Holocaust war, even intending to lose. Because when they start it and they get engaged, the 13th I-Man shows up. And he takes control of everything. So they'll even start a war knowing that they can't win. I'll tell you what, we need a Savior, folks. Lord, it is time. Amen? Lord, I pray right now, Lord. I pray for the situation in North Korea. I pray for the situation in Iran. I pray for the situation on University Avenue in San Diego, Lord. All across, Lord. All across, Lord. Let your day come. Let your people shine. Let your spirit, Lord, be released in each of us that we can see transformation in Jesus' name. Amen? See, if Savior comes, everything changes. Amen? All right. Here we go. Let's keep going. Sorry, I'm doing some kind of current events. Is that okay? How many of you have not heard the two events that I just talked about? Oh, wow. So you guys are all up on it. Okay, here we go. God's plan is in motion. Amen? That's good, huh? All right. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, and he freaked out. Yep, he did. An angel of the Lord appeared to him standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John." Experiencing the unexpected. I'd like to have you imagine that setting. I'll go back to that same picture. Here is Zechariah, maybe his third time into the holy place, maybe some other stuff he might have done, but it's a big deal. And it is a time of prayer, and there's people that are arranged outside, and it is Herod's temple, and it is covered with gold, and it is a big deal. And he's never going to do it again. And in the midst of that, and he goes into this room, and it is the most holy, it is the holy place, and it is about as big as this platform. So it's not that big. It's 15 feet wide, 30 feet deep. And he would be, say, if it was him, lined up on this side of the altar of incense, and he is praying. Now, if you're praying in the holy place, in the temple, for the one time in your life you get to do it, are your eyes open or your eyes shut? My eyes are shut, man. Going, oh, I'm probably praying in Hebrew, got to think. But anyway, I'm going right, and all of a sudden I open my eyes, whoa! He was not there when I started praying. And I'm assuming it's after the incense is down and the smoke is up and all that stuff. Amen? Ho! And he says, "Zechariah, don't be afraid. Your prayer's been heard." Now, maybe Zechariah snuck in a prayer for a son. But he's old. He's not just old. He's very old. George, your hair's as gray as mine. When's the last time you prayed for a son?
I was very old.
pray for a Savior ever?
All the time.
You know, and there's that element. Man, I gave that prayer up years ago. Now, I got to imagine that prayer went up daily between Elizabeth and him for year after year after year. Amen? Yeah. And time goes on, and age creeps in, and intense, and he's thinking, I'm looking for a king. I'm not looking for a kid. And so often, we want the plan of God to wrap around us than for us to wrap around the plan of God. Can I get a witness on that? And he says, your prayer has been heard. 32 years ago, we heard that prayer. And 2 minutes ago, we heard your prayer for a king, and they're tied together, and your lives of righteousness have been lined up on the plan of God. You didn't even realize it. But you got the answer to your prayer for a son 32 years ago, and I'm bringing you the answer right now. Sometimes we can get disappointed with the plan of God. Because realistically, we'd rather have a rescue than a savior. Because when you get a savior, everything changes. Amen? All right, here we go. He will be a joy and a delight to you. Many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great, mega, in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. Means that there's many who are not close to him right now. Amen? And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah. We talked about Elijah a minute ago. To turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous. And to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. He says, things are going to change. Things are going to be different, but things are going to be good. He says, your son that's coming is going to be a joy and a delight. Well, I'll sign up for joy and delight. How many people want joy and delight? Hey, man, I'll take joy and delight. Joy and delight sounds good. He goes, your son is going to be great. His greatness is going to flow from the presence of the Holy Spirit. Now, Luke begins to lay this foundation for this work of the Holy Spirit, and he goes on to describe the work of the Holy Spirit in the life and ministry, death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? He goes on, and Jesus says, do I got that text for you?
I don't.
He goes on and he says, he describes the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Jesus promises the power of the Holy Spirit would come upon them as they waited in Jerusalem. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, Acts chapter 2, verse 4, comes upon those that are gathered in the upper room waiting for that power, waiting for the visitation of the Holy Spirit. And the church is born on that day. And you take a look at the Acts, and the full title of that book is the Acts of the Apostles. And the full intent is the Acts of the Apostles under the influence of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? And so he lays this foundation of the work of the Holy Spirit that continues on all the way to City Heights today, and it is first manifest in the life and ministry of John the Baptist. Somebody ought to say, woo! I'll take that. Who said that? My wife? I'll buy you lunch, baby. All right. Where are we at? B. Okay, here we come. John will live and minister in the power of the prophet Elijah. Zechariah is a priest. We read from Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. See, I will send the prophet Elijah to you before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the hearts of the children to their parents. And to Zechariah, as soon as he says Elijah, he's thinking, zing, ding, 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 ding. I'm praying for a savior, and my son is going to be a forerunner to the savior. You see how big the plan of the Lord is. And how you can draw near and get a chance to participate in it. Last current events thing I have for you today. H.R. McMaster, who is President Trump's national security advisor, says the potential for war with North Korea increases every day. Somebody's got to get in there and fix this. I mean, this guy literally has the ability to launch nuclear weapons on Los Angeles. We're pretty close. You might want to go home with your mom. I don't know. Where's she from? Where at? Puebla? Right. No nukes heading toward Puebla, Mexico. It's a couple days away, right? You'll be safe, man. You could come back here after the bomb. This is my talk time. My talk time. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. You know, we start taking a look. We're talking about the plan of God here. Okay? Track with me on that. Forgive my humor. We start looking for somebody. Plan of God. We start looking for somebody who can handle North Korea. Even more, we start looking for somebody that can handle Iran, who is going to emerge on the political realm and handle the war in the Middle East. We say, who is it? We have a description in Scripture. We don't know his name, but we know his number. His number is 666. Because that person that brings peace to the Middle East and everybody says, hey, look who we got, and who makes a deal with Israel and rebuilds the temple, is going to break that deal and one day bring the abomination that causes desolation right to the temple, defile it, and begin the great tribulation. You say, wait a minute, I'm not praying for the Antichrist. But we know he's coming. And the setting is set up. And you see Zechariah's prayer. 32 years ago, you got an answer. Your son is on the way, and your king is coming too. And when he gets here, everything's going to change. Amen? All righty. We okay? You guys keeping up? A part of the plan. Zechariah's part. Zechariah asked the angel, how can I be sure of this? Don't do that. I'm an old man and my wife is well. See, now look how smart Zechariah is. He does not call his wife old. I'm an old man and my wife is well along in years. The angel said to him, I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God and I have been sent to speak to you to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not be able to speak until the day this happens because you did not believe my words, which come true at their appointed time. And Zechariah is asking for proof. Responds in doubt. How can I be sure? How can I really believe you? Now, he does not say no. But the Lord is looking for people who will say yes. Amen? Luke chapter 11, verse 29, our Lord speaking, as the crowds increased, Jesus says, this is a wicked generation. It asks for a sign, but none will be given it except the sign of Jonah. See, he had been doing miracles all along. He said, show us some more. Send us some food. We need more proof. See, there's many people who see and then say no. God will give you enough to grab onto. God will give you enough to say yes to. But when he does, he's looking for an answer, yes or no. Question is, what do you want for Christmas this year? You looking for a savior? Everything will change. You looking for a rescue? Oh man, just slide back to the way things were. Recall this setting again. He is in the holy place. An angel manifests himself right next to him. you know, in that setting, I might be moved to believe him. I mean, it's not like he's out on the street in Jerusalem saying, hey, can I get you a deal here? He's an angel in the holy place at the prayer time. You might, I mean, how often do you tell God in the shower, God, how can I really believe you on this? That's in his shower. Just think, he was taken in the shower in the temple. You don't really believe him. How can I believe you? I'm an old man. I gave up on this prayer a long time ago. I don't need a son. I need a Savior. And he says, let me help you out here. Let me give you something that you can grab onto. You're not going to be able to speak till all this comes true. What? It's going to be like 9 months. I don't know where Elizabeth is at. Maybe 10 months. Get what I mean? The Apostle Paul, breathing threats against the church, met the Lord and was blinded for 3 days. Let me give you something that you can grab onto. Zechariah got plenty. Let me help you with this. Don't give up on your Savior, because when he gets there, everything is going to change. Amen. Last thing I got for you. Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he had stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs, but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home, and after his wife Elizabeth became pregnant, and after this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. The Lord has done this for me, she said. In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people. See, God will give us opportunities to join him, to join in. Something's going on. The people are going, what's going on with Zechariah? It's taking too long. You know, and I'm not thinking that we got the whole... Luke gave us the whole dialogue that was happening inside the temple, because the dialogue that we got could take place in a minute and a half, 2 minutes. It's like 2-3 lines. And the people are going, what's taking so long? I'm wondering whether or not Zechariah was trying to take his no and turn it into a yes. Wait. It's okay, Gabriel. I believe you. I said, no. Sorry. I'll give you something that you can really grab onto. Have you ever found that? When you tell God no, sometimes it takes a while for you to turn that no to a yes. Man, it used to frustrate me. Oh, man, I'm not going to wait for another shot. I'm thinking, yes, yes, yes. Luke moves us over to Elizabeth. She's got yes all over her lips. She's ready for the plan of God. She's an old lady, and she's ready for morning sickness, stretch marks, birth pains, midnight feedings, and joy and delight. With all that joy, all that delight comes challenge. John the Baptist, incredible ministry of power, out in the desert, message of repentance. Herod throws him in jail and cuts his head off. Incredible opportunity for Elizabeth, Zechariah, incredible challenge and incredible pain. And it is the Holy Spirit that takes them through it all. Savior changes everything. What do you want for Christmas? They were looking for a rescue. God was offering a Savior. Savior is a lifelong issue, changing everything. So many want a rescue, just head right back to where you were. Savior changes everything. Everything changed for Zechariah and Elizabeth that day. At least you come on play. Zechariah, mute. Elizabeth, an old lady, got pregnant. Their whole lives became focused, guided, and directed, and reliant upon the Holy Spirit. Do you have any desire? See, some of you live like that right now. Not always, but right now you seek the provision of God, the direction of God, the power, and the Holy Spirit daily. Make your choices lining up on Him. You got a Savior. It is the scariest thing on the planet. Give up complete control of your life and rely upon the Lord who would wrap you around His plan. When your whole life has been worried about your plan and getting your stuff done, give me a rescue every once in a while. But see, if this Christmas you want a Savior, He is right here in this room. He says, you want to wrap your life around mine? I got plenty of room for you. And I'll show you. And there's people around that'll show you. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. About 28 years ago, I wrapped my life around yours. I thank you that my wife had already done that and that you wrapped us together 25 years ago, Lord. You gave us children. You gave us challenge. And you gave us joy, delight, and pain. But you have guided us and directed us through every challenge. You're here this morning. You're here this morning, and you know what I'm talking about. I just celebrate you, and we celebrate together. We get some lunch. We go downstairs and have that. But you're here this morning, and you are completely terrified about wrapping your life around the Lord. You know Him. You're here today, challenging sickness to get here. This is a whole new thing. This is wrapping your life around the plan of God. You're saying, Lord, that's what I want this Christmas. I want to be yours, all yours. I want to know you. I want to be transformed by you, empowered by you. I want you to come near me, and I want everything to change. Don't be looking around. I know it's a scary thing. There's many here that have done that. Lord is calling you to do that this morning with nobody looking around. I just want you to slide your hand up and say, that is me. I want to wrap my life around the life of the Lord. Slide your hand up. That's you this morning. Say, that's me. I want to do that. I'm scared right now, but I want to do that. Right here, anybody else? Say, that's me. I want to know that. I want to do that. I want to be transformed. Anybody else? Slide your hand up. That's me. Let's stand. Worship team's going to come. We're going to sing. Pray too, Lord. I pray health on this congregation. All the people that are sick and all the germs are in this place, Lord, just vaporize them in Jesus' name, Lord.